Let's try to go through some of your cases. And maybe we can briefly talk about what happened and then what you think is kind of the teaching point of the case. So let's start out with your 63-year-old lady with obstructive jaundice.
I think this is a fairly typical scenario that you see in practice. Patients present with obstructive jaundice on high-quality imaging. A teaching point is you really need to get a pancreatic protocol CT to look at the blood vessels. I think MRI seems to be equally good, but I think the gold standard is pancreatic protocol CT. That means the contrast has to be given rapidly, bolus contrast, to look at the blood vessels.
So do you think most people know that? Pancreatic protocol CT?
Apparently not. Outside of surgeons, it's still very disconcerting. Almost always when we see a case from the community, we had to repeat CAT scan.
Wow.
Patients come with contrast CT, but it's not pancreatic protocol specific. It's almost like a CT angiogram where to put two IVs and give contrast, rapid bolus. We see patients who look like they are resectable, then we do a pancreatic protocol CT and we see a blood vessel abutment.
Wow.
So that's an important teaching point.
Wow, that is interesting. That's another one I'm going to ask on a poll question, see if people know about.
Right, absolutely.
I can never tell if it's me or, or not, but I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so
again, obstructive jaundice. If you're looking at doing preoperative therapy, should not put in a plastic stent. They will get clogged, especially with FOLFIRINOX. A short metal stent these days is fine for surgery. Surgeons are able to deal with a short metal stent, can remove it at surgery.
Again, is that routine or do people not always do that?
That's not routine. Usually patients will come with a plastic stent, which has to be changed in 3 months. And then depending on the timing of surgery, if it's going to be prolonged treatment, the gastroenterologist will put a short metal stent. You should not put in a long metal stent, then the surgeons will be very upset. So that's an important point. So if it's borderline resectable based on abutment, in our practice, any abutment of arteries, we consider it borderline resectable because getting a clear margin when there's arterial involvement is difficult. So unless it's clearly resectable, our practice is to do neoadjuvant therapy. And the regimen we pick is based on age and performance status. Just like metastatic disease, younger patients, ECOG 0, 1 would get FOLFIRINOX. That's about 20% of our patient population. Rest would get GEM, nab-paclitaxel.
Let me ask you, what are your thoughts about the idea of doing neoadjuvant therapy on patients that appear to be resectable?
I think that's a clinical trial question. I don't recommend it when I see a patient in for a second opinion. If it's clearly resectable, and especially if the CA19-9 is less than 100, 180, I think those patients outside of a clinical trial should go to surgery. We do have a clinical trial for potentially resectable, so we preferentially would put those patients on a clinical trial, chemotherapy followed by SBRT. But otherwise, unless there are factors, especially if the CA19-9 is 500 and it looks potentially resectable, that indicates a bad outcome. So in that case, we may give preoperative therapy, but otherwise should go to surgery.
You said you have a protocol looking at chemotherapy followed by SBRT. That's interesting. Has that been done before?
That has been done before. There have been single institution pilot studies with chemotherapy and SBRT, but SBRT really requires expertise and only done at selected institutions because I think it requires a lot of expertise and planning, radiation oncology planning, because you are giving high doses of radiation over a short period of time, which can lead to side effects.
I mean, obviously SBRT is used a lot in community-based practice in the brain, et cetera. You think it's a different story with the pancreas?
Correct. With the pancreas, if it's not done properly, you can get tremendous side effects, usually duodenal ulceration and bleeding.
Wow.
Because the bowel duodenum is right behind in a pancreatic head tumor.
Huh.
And there have been cases of, you know, exsanguinating bleeding.
Wow.
So with newer techniques and experience, it's become much safer. But I think outside of a highly experienced center, this should not be done in community practice.
I mean, it kind of sounds intuitively like a good idea.
Correct.
So, okay, so this patient got FOLFIRINOX, modified FOLFIRINOX.
Correct. Patient got modified FOLFIRINOX after 3 cycles. Had a good response. And this is where a multidisciplinary board really needs to evaluate the case. So in our practice, we would give chemotherapy till the surgeon feels confident that this is resectable. So it may be 2 to 4 months of chemotherapy. We don't usually go more than 4 months of preoperative chemotherapy. If the tumor doesn't shrink by then, it's not likely to do so, and we would switch strategies. So after the first staging CT scan, if there is sufficient shrinkage, the surgeon is confident of getting negative margins, the patient would go to surgery. If not, we would give another 3 cycles, reevaluate. If there's still a question of a positive margin, at that point, we would incorporate radiation therapy. We don't do radiation for all cases of preoperative therapy. That's why you really need to have an expert team, a radiation oncologist, a surgeon, and a medical oncologist reviewing these cases every couple of weeks.